Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I think some preliminary tectonic shocks could begin to rattle the market very soon. These would be just the precursor to the massive quake coming by the end of the year. That's my belief right now. The model tells me it's not time to panic yet, but it's telling me that something significant, or at least mildly significant, not the main event, but a precursor could happen soon. And I sold GDX, the gold mining position that we had, and bought silver a couple of weeks ago in the portfolio because I wanted to take down the volatility without losing any exposure to precious metals. However, silver ended up having the same volatility constitution as the miners over the same time frame, which I do not want as we enter this period of instability in the market. But the fact is that silver has and always will have a much higher volatility constitution than gold. And I expect market volatility, as I said, to pick up significantly very soon, and especially over the next few months and quarters. Silver also looks terrible on the technical side as well, so I sold it. That doesn't mean we'll never buy back silver, but we want only gold right now. Silver does best during a global cyclical recovery that is accompanied by inflation. We do not have those conditions now. Silver is half money, and it's half base metal and industrial use. Therefore, it is pegged to economic growth and inflation, both of those things. I believe the liquidity spigot for Wall Street gamblers is about to get turned off, as the reverse repo facility now only has $300 billion remaining, which is down from over $2 trillion at this time, at this same moment last year. Hence, I am now starting to take down beta in the portfolio. Okay, so switching gears, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this podcast. It might be a little longer than usual, but I'm sure you'll forgive me. The cumulative U.S. budget deficit has reached $1.2 trillion so far this year, with the federal government now two-thirds through the fiscal year, driven in part by rising interest payments on the national debt. The deficit totaled $347 billion in the month of May, an increase of 44% from the gap in the same month a year earlier, according to the Treasury Department. What does our Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen have to say about the debt? She says the mountain of U.S. debt is at, quote, a reasonable place if it remains at this level, close quote. The U.S. debt is now $35 trillion. Reasonable place? We will be spending $1 trillion on interest payments on the national debt in 2025. One-fifth of all federal revenue is now spent on interest payments alone. For all of 2007, the total deficit was just $160 billion. Now we're paying $1 trillion in interest? Total U.S. debt to GDP is now 123%. It was 60% prior to the global financial crisis. Now, the national debt is now 725% of revenue, adding 40% of all yearly revenue to the debt. The debt load is already exerting downward pressure on growth and is rising much faster than GDP, meaning the debt to GDP ratio is getting worse by the day. This is happening during a bull market and a supposed soft landing in the economy. Just imagine what will happen during a recession when GDP plunges while deficits skyrocket. A record $9 trillion of U.S. debt will be maturing in the next 12 months. Combine that with the $1.7 trillion deficit for all of this fiscal year, and add a few $100 billion more from the Fed's quantitative tightening program, and you get a total of $11 trillion of debt issuance that must find a home and at much higher rates. And yes, debt and deficits do matter, despite what Keynesian economists claim. They claim that big deficits mean big growth spurts in GDP. I mean, if you listen to these economists, you think the path to economic nirvana comes from how big your deficits are. But in truth, they lead to higher interest rates. They crowd out private investment. They destroy productivity and lead to higher inflation. So no, deficit spending isn't the way to GDP nirvana. And no, the debt is not at a reasonable place, Janet. In last week's FOMC meeting and press conference, the Fed raised the projection for its preferred inflation metric, which is core PCE. They raised it to 2.8% at the end of the year. That's what they think core inflation, core personal consumption expenditures will be at the end of this year. And that was up from 2.6% at its last meeting. So despite inflation being well above target, the Fed wants to start cutting rates this year. And maybe that's because they know that 42% of the Russell 2000 is currently posting negative profitability, compared with less than 20% in the mid-1990s. Small cap operating earnings outside the financial sector are likely to be reduced by 32% over the next 5 years, given that nearly half of their debt is short-term or floating rate debt. Firms in the small cap Russell 2000 index hold a total of $832 billion in debt, 75% of which, or $620 billion, needs to be refinanced through 2029, according to Bloomberg. So the Fed knows that the economy is sinking, and some of that evidence can now be found in the labor market. Initial jobless claims spiked to 242,000 last week, and continuing claims jumped by 30,000 to 1.82 million. This is on top of the decrease in the labor force from the non-farm payroll report, 4% unemployment rate, and over 400,000 jobs lost in the May household survey. That all flies in the face of their establishment survey that showed 270,000 people were employed. The rise in weekly initial jobless claims was the largest in the past 9 months, so the labor market is starting to crack. One of the reasons why I think the volatility in the market is really going to pick up soon, very soon. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey released Friday showed sentiment hit its lowest level in 7 months for June. The index reading for the month came in at 65.6, down from 69.1 in May, and lower than the 72 predicted by the genius economists that work on Wall Street. The sentiment survey highlighted rising concerns over higher prices and weakening incomes. Hey, Jerome, if you're listening, consumers need prices to fall, not go up more slowly from their already unaffordable level. The Fed thinks prices that are rising at 2% is good enough, but they are not even going up by 2% year over year. They are going up by 3.3% year over year, according to the Consumer Price Index. And that's probably one of the reasons why, not the only reason, but one of the main reasons why retail sales for the month of May came in at up just 0.1%, while the estimate was for an increase of 0.3%. And the revisions were all down as well from prior months. The consumer is softening because inflation has already destroyed their purchasing power. And yet, Jerome Powell, Elizabeth Warren, and the crybabies on Wall Street want more money printing, lower borrowing costs, and more inflation fast, because they know that their precious asset bubbles are about to burst. Boo-hoo. As referenced at the top of this podcast, the reverse repo facility has poured $1.7 trillion of new money into the economy over the course of the past year. These funds existed as excess bank reserves held outside of the economy and parked and laying fallow at the Fed. They were taken out of the Fed and were used to buy treasuries, which flooded the economy with fresh money to boost consumption and gamble on stocks, mostly AI. That's massive QE that has occurred this year. If you're wondering why the stock market is, at least the headlines, S&P, not underneath, I'll go into that in a second, but the headline numbers say, hey, we're in a massive bull market. Look at NVIDIA. Well, that's for gamblers, like the kitty guy, Roaring Kitty, GameStop. It's for NVIDIA. But stock valuations now sit at a record high that is nearly twice as high in relation to GDP than it was before the start of the global financial crisis in 2007. But it's all just a handful of stocks that are working, and particularly in the AI space. And for example, the equal weight S&P 500 is up 4% this year. And that includes NVIDIA. It just doesn't overweight it because of its market cap. And the Russell 2000 is actually negative year to date. Such narrow rallies have always ended badly throughout history. And this is one of the most narrow rallies ever recorded. We remain net long in the portfolio and cautiously riding this bubble higher, but with one eye keenly focused on the narrow emergency exit door.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.